Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
I'd like to take you on a short journey for where we've been to the beginning of 2021. In January, we talked about zeal and the importance of zeal as we've seen the uncertainty unfolding before us. In February, we took a whole month to talk about wisdom, explaining that zeal without wisdom is a dangerous thing. In March, we talked about the kingdom of God, because zeal is, after all, seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. And finally, in April, we talked about the Holy Spirit, for the kingdom of God is about the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit. Finally, in May, we talked about, on the first week of May, Life 2.0, about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love, and we started a journey on relationships for the month of May. We took a short break with my wife, Marie, talking on Mother's Day, but today I want to continue for this week on talking about relationships. You may have heard of the book for dummies. There's books called Shakespeare for Dummies, Wines for Dummies, Movie Production for Dummies, Computers for Dummies, a whole gamut of different books for dummies. What people don't realize is there's a whole series of books for dummies on relationships. For instance, Relationships for Dummies. Then there's the book called Improving Your Relationship for Dummies. Then there's the book Making Marriage Work for Dummies. And then there's Dating for Dummies. And of course, if there's Dating for Dummies, there should be Online Dating for Dummies, Rekindling Romance for Dummies, Codependency for Dummies, and finally, Parenting for Dummies. I've decided to entitle this message, The Ultimate Relationship Hack. The ultimate relationship hack is if you could figure this one step of building relationships, you probably don't have to read all those other books. Now, they might inform you somewhat, but this one actually works. It begins in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it." Verse 28, the second half says, "Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Very interesting verse that actually provokes two questions. The first question is, does God know, or did God really know, that Adam and Eve would sin against Him? The reason why we ask that is because if He did, then why would He entrust the entire rulership of the whole earth to them? If God knew that Adam and Eve were going to sin against Him, why would He entrust the whole world to them? Well, you see, the truth of the matter is love is the motive for all relationships, but trust is the thing you stand on. And God knew that for trust to be trust, it had to be entrusted even though you knew that people might fail. The truth of the matter is when trust fails, relationships will fail. And that's why we need to talk about trust. Trust is the thing we stand on. While we're motivated to have relationships because of love, it is trust that makes relationships last a lifetime. Fact of the matter is our trust is fallible. They'll fail us. We're not very reliable. We're not very honest and truthful. And that's why the only way we can learn trust is to learn trust from the one and only person who is worth our trust. And that is God Himself. The word trust has five letters. T for truth, and that's the beginning of trust. It's not a coincidence that the word trust and truth are literally one letter shy of each other because they're related. Without truth, there can be no trust. Truth is so important for us, or the beginning point for us to even understand this word called trust. Now, to understand truth, we need to go back to the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, God wanted to know the truth. As such, He confronted them in Genesis chapter 3, verse 11. He said to them, "Who told you that you were naked?" And then He asked for the truth. "Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" There it is, a question demanding an answer of the truth. Now watch what happens. The man said, "The woman that you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit of the tree and I ate it." In essence, he didn't answer the truth. He basically blamed his wife and more so blamed God and said, "It's because of you." What is the truth? The truth was when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was, there you go, with her and he ate. In other words, he really wasn't just being given by his wife, he was watching her get tempted. Now, here's what's interesting. If there was a CCTV camera in the Garden of Eden that day, what you would see was the woman eating the fruit. But further, it says, the Lord God commanded not the woman, but the man, that you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat from. In short, we find that the man actually knew that this was not to be done. What the CCTV camera would also find is a man holding a stopwatch. It might sound funny to you, but I think that's what happened. Adam was waiting to see whether his wife would die because he knew, based on the command of God, that she would. And he was waiting to see if she wouldn't, and then he partook of the fruit. In short, the truth is harder than we can actually imagine. Sometimes we think what we say is true is not really the truth. Now, here's what happens next. What is the truth? God goes to the woman because he wants to know the truth. In verse 13, it says, the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Is that the truth? What is the truth? It's very hard to find the truth because the truth avoids us because our hearts are not very truthful. Here's the truth. Chapter 3, verse 6 says, when the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom. That's the truth. She ate and took some. That's the reason why the truth's important, because it's not that easy. It's easy to find it. And every time we do not walk in truth, we will not find trust. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The ultimate basis for truth is no less than God himself. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. When we know him, then we have the ability to walk in trust, first with the Father and then with others. Truth is the foundation of trust. Trust is the foundation of relationships. And thankfully, because of Jesus, we have the truth, because Jesus is the truth. Now, trust does not end with just the truth. Trust is about reliability. And we find that again in Genesis 8, verse 22. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Watch this. As long as the earth exists, these things will never cease. That's a powerful thing. The whole idea of the reliability of nature and the seasons is encapsulated and summarized in this one verse. I remember very clearly the day in 1987 where I was when I was thinking about this verse. I was sitting in a plane in Dallas, Texas. Snow covered the airport, and the word seasons came to mind. I landed in Michigan a few hours later, and it looked like this. It was a blizzard full of snow. And I remember, if I could teach you all the things I learned in that short plane ride about an understanding of seasons, we could sit here the whole day. Seasons is the reliability of God. It is the basis for hope, because we know that he is dependable, he's reliable, the season will change, they will come, they will go, and they will build life in us. The more we understand the reliability of God, the more reliable we want to become. Further, in Romans chapter 8, verse 38, it says this, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, I'm convinced that neither height nor depth nor anything in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our reliability is we have Jesus. Because we have Jesus, we can reliably trust that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ. The more we grow in this understanding of truth and reliability in Jesus, the more we will understand what trust is, and the more we will become trustworthy. But it doesn't stop there. The word unity comes to fore. Unity is an important part of trust. Unity is being one. James 1 verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. This is a picture of reliability. Every good and perfect gift is from above. The reliable Father of heaven gives us every good and perfect gift. But it's bridged with this other verse that says, who does not change like shifting shadows, from reliability to integrity to being one. That's what integrity is, or unity, to be one. That's where we get the word integer, or one. Integrity is being one. Your mind, your will, your emotions, your relationships are one. You're not one thing in one place and another thing in another place. This is the distinguishing difference between reliability and unity. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, it says this: there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. Notice the word one, one, one. The Lord, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. One all in all. To be one is integrity. Integrity is like this leaf that's one in spirit, in mind, and soul, and body is one. When we are one, we have unity and we have integrity. The good news is Ephesians 4, the continuing verse says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. In Jesus, we have become one. When we have unity in Christ, our trust level grows. Our understanding of truth, reliability, and integrity becomes one. And thus, we understand trust at a greater level and begin to behave in trust. But trust does not end there. It continues with the word standards. Standards are important for us to trust something or someone. Standards are necessary. You cannot build a relationship without standards because it's standards that is the basis of trust. For instance, two people trying to build a relationship need to agree about a standard time. They can't even meet each other if one guy's time is different from the other. For instance, they can't build a relationship if they don't have the right standard for what is right and wrong, or for that matter, what is excellent or mediocre, or for that matter, if they're going to deal in currencies or money, there has to be a standard. A standard is the basis. When you have money or currencies, there's a standard of value which becomes the basis of our trust. When you start talking about standards, then it begins to dwell into the place of you got to test those standards. For instance, you can't trust a doctor who's not tested. You can't trust medication that have not been tested to standard, even a soft drink, or for that matter, a bank and the way they run things, or a teacher or driver, a teacher who teaches you how to drive, or a driver who's driving has to be tested to standard. We find that story in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food in the middle of the garden where there was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, and why did he do that? Why did he put two trees in the garden? Well, the simple reason is because he was to command man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. There's a freedom to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it or from it, you will certainly die. This idea of two trees in the garden, or the tree of good of knowledge of good and evil, or the tree of life, was not really about those trees. It was about the test. The test whether you would trust God's word that you're free to eat from any tree in the garden. Imagine God telling you you can have anything and everything in paradise except for this one thing. The whole issue was testing the standard of trust. Would you believe my word? Would you trust me when I tell you something? Because test of trust matters and is the basis for how standards are kept. When standards are high, relationships will be high. When standards are low, relationships will be low. When we have the standards of God, Isaiah 6 verse 3 says, He is a holy, holy, holy God. The Lord God Almighty is holy and the whole earth is full of His glory. That word holy simply means someone who is a cut above the rest, someone who is very different from everybody else. And the only way to describe that was not in one word holy, but in multiple words of holy, holy, holy. This is the standard of our God. What's interesting is in Hebrews 10, verse 10, it says, but by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Jesus made us holy. That's the standard we live by, not because we deserve it, not because we earned it, but because He gave it to us. We are made holy. This is the basis of trust, the truth that we have in Jesus and Jesus alone. the reliability that nothing in all creation, neither death nor life, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ. The unity of becoming one in spirit, in lordship, in family, in faith, in everything that we do, we have integrity, and the high standards of being holy in Christ becomes the benchmark for why we want to live in trust. And finally, the word time. Trust is not just truth, reliability, and unity, but standards over time. I want to show you this short video. I laugh every time I see this video because it's a church video. It's about a pastor explaining to his staff to trust one another. I want to show you this. Watch it, and then let's talk after that.
Fall, and we're just, it'll be an exercise in building trust between one another. So, Harrison, if you don't mind going first, step up here on this chair and close your eyes. All right, and then everybody fill in. And we're going to ask you to fall, and then they will catch you. So you have to trust us. So I'm going to count to three. Just relax and fall, okay? One, two, three.
No, wait, no, no! Trust takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. We learn from one another. And the fact of the matter is the things we trust are valuable. And that's why we need someone we can trust over time. I was recently at the mall in Orchard, and I saw this sign that says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time." As beautiful as this verse is, the second half is even more beautiful. "For he set eternity in the hearts of men." When we learn to trust God over time, we see that everything becomes beautiful over time. Time is the essence of the final point of trust. And here's the good part. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we can put our trust on the truth, the reliability, the unity and the standards of time for all of eternity that this God has given us, we will understand trust. When we walk in this trust in Him, we will become this kind of people. A people who know we have the truth in Christ. A reliability that knows nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ. That we have become one. Our mind, our will, our emotions, our actions, our thoughts have integrity. And we have the standards that have made us holy in Christ for all of eternity. As I close this portion meditating on the Word of God, I want us to proclaim Christ. I want you to take a piece of bread and a cup and pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, we proclaim that you alone are worthy of our complete trust. We thank you that as we learn to trust you, we will learn what real trust means. In time, we will be trustworthy and have the ability to walk in trust with one another, to walk in truth, reliability, unity, and high standards over time. We trust that as our relationship with you grows, our trustworthiness shall grow as well. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.